Everything that I wanted to do, I think that I want to, first of all, I want to take this time and I want to thank the Lord for my wife. She puts up with a whole lot. And me and the way I am, but this morning early I got up about, I don't know what time it was, I woke up about 10 minutes to 5. And got to reading and got to studying and everything, got to looking at some things. But you know, of everything that she has done for me, I do not believe that God could have given me any better lady and a better wife than Shelby. I've always said that Jesus Christ, He's my spiritual rock. But not only my spiritual, He's my spiritual rock. But I thank the Lord that He also gives us, if we'll accept it and if we'll look at it in the way that we need to look at it, but He also gives us a natural rock that we can lean on. And they can lift us up at times. And I thank the Lord for my daughter also. My daughter's real tough on me. And I know that, and she's just concerned, I know. But I just want to take that moment today and just thank you, Shelby, for putting up with me. I know at times you probably say, well, I just need to go on and go. Well, you make him walk a little faster than I can. But I promise you one thing. If I don't make it to the car, I'll find out where you're at. Because I'm coming. Man, and if she left me, I don't know what. I mean, I tell you. Mm.
I said, where does she think I'm going? I don't have anywhere to get.
Well,
she was dying laughing. She could.
All you had to do was just stay gone a day or two, and you'd have come back, because. Yeah, she'd have returned, and I'd been on the floor, and I'd be probably in the hospital, and then my daughter would be done called Ren Yates and all of that. But you know something? Even though we do have health problems, and even though that the devil, he is on the rampage, And he's trying his very best to destroy us. Because the devil himself, he don't love us. He don't love me and he don't love you. But we need to try the spirits. And I'm talking about we need to, in other words, we need to make sure that we're listening in whom we are speaking, whom speaking to us. Because we can discern, we can, if we listen closely, now if we just listen, the devil will trick us up. We We've got to listen closely when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. We got to listen to the Holy Spirit closely. And when we do, the Holy Spirit will speak to us in a way that the spirit of the devil cannot even come across. But here this evening this morning for a few minutes, and I say for a few minutes, that's probably all it's going to be this morning. But I want to look in the book of 1 Kings chapter 17. And I'm going to start reading with verse 8. And I may read on down to the end of the chapter, which would be the 24th. But here in 1 Kings chapter 17, right here we see where Elijah was a man of God. We know that Elijah he went down beside the creek bed, and where the brook had dried up. But it says right here, and says in verse 5, it says, "So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land." I believe that we can look at this right here, and we're going to look at the remaining verses. The grace of God. Well, God's grace had not just poured out upon Elijah, but also was poured out upon this mother. This mother that Elijah, that God told Elijah to go to. And as he went to the widow woman's house it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." In other words, what he's saying is that the Lord God Almighty had prepared this woman, and the Spirit of God has spoken to her heart that she may be able to feed Elijah. We're going down and we can see where it was a trying time for this dear mother right here. "For he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering up sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord, thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of the oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the words of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Now we see right here where Elijah had heard the Lord God and told Elijah to go down to this widow's house, down to Zarephath, and this widow woman there, to where she would be able to take and give thee something to drink. No doubt it was probably some water. But also, and told her also to make me a cake. And she had already had told him before then that I have just enough meal, flour, or whatever you want to call it, to be able to bake a cake for me and my son. And then after that, we will die. Because they did not have any more meal. They didn't have no more oil. They didn't have nothing else to cook with. They didn't have no more water. But it says, right here says, and Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. Elijah went and told this widow lady here, says, you go, you done brought me some water to drink, to quench this thirst. Now go and fix me a cake or a meal. And she had told him, like I said before, she had told him, says, I just have just enough meal to last me and my son. But he said, go. Go and do as the Lord has commanded me to tell you of. And verse 12, it says, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. They was about ready to partake of the last meal. And they knew what was going to happen because they knew that they was going to die. Because no doubt they had been in this condition for a while. They had rationed what they had for a while. So they knew if they missed many more meals that they would die. Have you ever been in that situation where when you just say, well, I don't have enough to last me all week. I just don't have enough to carry me through. And if something don't happen, then I will perish. I know we've all been in a situation. I've been in the same situation that I did not know where that I was going to be able to get my next meal from. But thank the good Lord that He allowed me to check out some pockets and some places in my house that where I could come across some change and I could go and buy me a pack of bologna and a loaf of bread. Now, whether you like bologna and mustard together or not, I'll tell you what, when you get hungry, you'll eat anything. You'll eat anything. And you know, and the reason I really won't use this message today, but the Lord said use it, so I got to obey the Lord. But I think what the Lord is trying to show us through this widow lady right here is what we're about to face. We haven't faced anything yet. Things is not going to get any better. If anything, it's going to get worse. If anything, you're going to have problems, you're going to have troubles this week that you haven't had before. But we have to lean on the Lord. And we have to have an attentive ear unto the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we must listen closely. And as we listen closely, we can take what He says and we can look it up in Scripture and see if it is from the Holy Spirit or if it's from the devil and his angels. Because, you know, we have all kinds of angels out here. We have the angels of God out here. We have the Spirit that goes about teaching us. We also have the devil. He's roaming. He's like unto a lion. He wants you to devour each and every one of us. He knows if He devours us, then He's got the church, and He knows that then we'll have to lock the door. The devil knows all of these things. But see, I also know that God is the supreme being. God knows all things. And what God knows and what God wants to do, God does not want to close this church down. He does not want to close it down. He does not want me to give up. Now this week, now I'll tell you. I mean, it was close, but I had to make decisions. I had to get in. I had to listen, and I had to listen closely to the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the words of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. This is the Lord God of Israel speaking to Elijah. And Elijah is revealing his message to this widow lady. Same way he does today. The Lord may speak to you about something, and you may end up speaking to me because the Lord wants you to speak to me about a certain issue or certain things. Or the Lord may speak to me about certain things. But we need to listen. And that's the hardest thing that I believe for a Christian is just close the mouth, close the mind, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to the heart. When he speaks to your heart, then that's when he will come in and he will take over. That's when he will come in and he will dwell there with you and through the circumstance that we're going through. Nothing surprises God. You know, God knew all of this was going to happen to me 15, 20, 30 years ago, 1,000 years ago. He knew it was going to happen. But did he want me to continue to sit down? No. He says, I want you to keep going. That's what he wants you to do, is keep going. And right at the moment, I need your help. I need your help more today than I did when I first come over here. Because I can't go like I want to go. I'd love to be able to go every day. And I'd love to go out here and be on the highway out here and visiting homes. But I can't. Not unless my legs get to feeling real good, and then I'll go on that particular day. But when I get back home, they're wore out. So that's when we need to band together. We need to come together as Christians. We need to come together in one accord. And it's not no Honda Accord either. I'm talking about one accord. I'm talking about that we need to come together ourselves so closely and be knitted together so closely that if you hurt, I hurt. If I hurt, you hurt. If something happens here in the church that goes on, if you know about it, then I know about it. But we all need to remember We're in this thing together. We're in it together in winning the lost to Jesus Christ. We're not in it for you to be in it for me. And I'm not in it for you. I'm in it for the Lord Jesus Christ. And for what He has there in glory for me. What a wonderful day that's going to be when He catches us all up. I got to reading this morning and looked like everything I read, it reminded me about what we say, and we say the rapture is going to take place. Nowhere in the Bible speaks of the rapture. Speaking about the catching away. He say, now He's already caught us. He's already caught us, and we're supposed to continue to do what He wants us to do. I mean, how many of you remember the day that you got saved? When you got saved, what happened? The next day or two, and the next week or two, what did you do? You went out, and everybody you met, you said, guess what happened to me this week? Guess what happened to me last week? I got saved. Some of them will look at it like you're crazy. Well, blessed pet I am. Hey, God's word says I'm peculiar. So if I'm peculiar to God, I know I'm peculiar to this world. That's all right too. But I know one thing. One of these days, hallelujah, praise God. I may have it my walking. I may have to end up going with my walk. I may have to end up getting me a wheelchair. I don't know. I may end up getting two or three things to get me down here and to get me up here to preach. But I'll tell you one thing. One of these days, as soon as I hear the trump of God sound in heaven, I'm going to take the wheelchair and I'm going to push it to the side, push your walker to the side, I'm going to push your cane to the side. These eyeglasses, they're going to come off. And even, not only that, He's going to take this old knee of mine on the left side. He's going to take it completely apart. Why? Because see, I got an artificial knee in there. Nothing artificial is going to heaven. And I think we've got too many artificial Christians today. They think that they're going to get into heaven. I still say, we still need to lift our hands up and praise the Lord for His goodness and His mercy. Yes. Has He been good to you?
Amen.
Yes. I mean, He provided His mercy. He provided all of His grace for you and for me. Amen. And all His long suffering. How many fruits are you going to have when you get to heaven? You know, we're going to stand before God. And we're going to have to say, God. And God's going to ask us, says, I see you didn't bear no fruit. I don't have nobody coming over and say, well, I thank you. We're going to have people come up to us, if you let them to the Lord. It's going to come up to each and every one of us that had an opportunity to be able to lead somebody to the Lord or pray for them or whatever. they gonna come up and they gonna say, Lord, I just want to take this one little moment right here. Oh, is it okay? Takes one little moment. Comes over. Shake my hand. Shake your hand. Put his arms around us and hug us and says, I thank you. I thank you for leading me to the Lord. I thank you for telling me the truth. That's all people is looking for today, is the truth. And they're not getting an idea in the Lord. You know, how come that we as individuals today will end up, and I'm not picking on no church, no denomination, nothing like that. But I went to a church here, it's probably been 10, 12, I don't know, maybe 25 years ago now, and I preached. And when I did, when I got through, they come to me and ask me, says, would you consider taking the church if we offered it to you? I says, on one condition, if you'll put a name to it. I says, I don't know what y'all believe. I says, right now, anything and everything can come into the church and they can worship in a way they want to. Now, I'm a Baptist by choice, my own choice. I think the Baptists and what we believe in, what the Word of God says that we come closer than any other. I hear. And he said, well, I doubt very seriously if his church is going to go for that. So I went back at night and I preached again at night for him. And I come back home and everything, and I asked him, I said, did you say anything to the people? He said, yes, sir, we did. I talked to the people after this morning, after you left. He says, no, they didn't want to change your name. They didn't want to add Baptist or Methodist or nothing like that, Pentecostal Holiness or nothing like that to the church. Name, I said, well, I says, I can't, you know, I just can't accept it because on some things that I believe that I'm going to preach in y'all's pulpit here, there's going to end up, some people's going to get probably fretted and they may end up getting mad with me. I said, but that's not my intentions at all. For the people to get upset with me or mad with me or anything like that. And he said, well, I understand. So I told him this, that my daughter told me that afternoon before we went back that Sunday night. My daughter told me, says, Daddy, I remember when you and Mama got me that puppy. On a Christmas, And she told me, she says this. She says, "Daddy, have y'all named the puppy?" I says, "No, we're going to let you do that." So she named a puppy. I says, "Our own dog has a name. Why can't the church have a name up there? Letting the people know when they come in to worship, when they come in, that they know what's going to go on. Like I said here the other Sunday, that the charismatic, we have been labeled so many different things. But as far as the charismatic movement, the charismatic movement started way back in the 20s. And they saying it just had started in the last 20 years. But it hasn't. It's always been there. But they bringing out new things, new ideas. Why? Because they got all these different translations out here. And in the latter verses of this same chapter that I've read, can you see it there? Hallelujah, give me some. It says right here, it says in verse 20, "And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought me evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself among the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thou son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." That right there, that latter verse. "And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is thy mouth. In thy mouth is truth." You know, we see right here where it was a lady here that she loved the Lord, I believe. Not only did she love the Lord, but she also loved the man of God. We need to be able to love one another. Because see, the Lord God Almighty, He loved us when we was unlovable. He loved me when I was unlovable. He loved me when I was in sin. And with that in mind, then I need to love my enemy. I need to love the one that hates me. I need to love the one that despitefully used me. And there are people I hear that has used my name in a way that where one day they're going to answer for it. I forgave them for it. I forgive them for it. See, now that's when they need to go the extra mile. And then they can return the favor and coming to me and saying, preacher says, you know I've said some things about you that wasn't true. Would you forgive me for them? If we're Christian, we should say, well, I'd already forgave you for them. But see, they went the extra mile. If somebody's got an alt, or if anybody's talking about me or running me down or something like that, or something I don't understand why they doing it, something like that. You know, I haven't said anything to them about anything. But who is supposed to be the bigger between the two? I am. I'm supposed to go to them and say, hey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry because I miss your fellowship. I miss the fellowship that we once had together. Hey, don't never miss out on a fellowship. I'm fellowshipping with God's people. If somebody says something against you, anything at all, and if you find out about it, pick up the telephone. Hey, we got the telephone now. If you live in another state, you know, we got a phone that can reach other states too. Yeah, they got a long distance charge on them, but majority of us today has a cell phone. We can take your cell phone and we can call them. I know it's something wrong, but I'm sorry. I want our fellowship to be back together. I want to be an individual that nobody can say anything about me and say, well, you know, he hasn't, you know, he forgot about me. You know, he even come around and talk to me. He forgot about me. Well, we do. We forget about it. And sometimes we get to the point in our own life that we are so bogged down with life and so bogged down with this and that we cannot really enjoy a Christian life. And I want to enjoy every moment of my Christian life. Why? That's what he tells me to do. To enjoy life itself. And he's given me life. He's given me everything that I have. I know that me and my wife, we worked hard for it and everything what we got, but it doesn't still make no difference. The Lord still gave it to us. He still gave it to us. But we have to be mindful unto the Lord.